From the Atlantic to the Pacific, across the islands of the Caribbean, from mountain crest, from canyons to the clouds and into the cosmos, we are pumping wattage high and low, plus streaming worldwide on the internet and keeping you company tonight. It's the place to relax and hang out. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, and this is Speaking of Strange, giving you the latest and discussing the weirdest. We have assembled the finest team of reporters and the most intriguing guests, and that's why we are your favorite hub in a wild world, so keep it tuned right here. Boy, am I excited about this hour of the show, because my guest really needs no introduction. I'm sure you have heard him many, many times. He is one of the most successful talk radio hosts in the world, and he is at the helm of Coast to Coast AM, which is heard by millions of people around the globe every single night. He is the master of the night, Mr. George Norrie. Welcome, sir, to Speaking of Strange.
Josh, it's great to be on your show. We're finally turning the tables for a change, aren't we?
I know. It feels a little weird, doesn't it? But that's one of the great things about you, however. You do a lot of guest appearances in addition to your hosting, and it's always a great conversation. And you know, George, I have been hosting this program, which is, of course, Clear Channel / iHeart, for 13 years, broadcast out of Asheville. So I've talked a lot about you, and then, of course, people have heard me on Coast many times, but you have never been to Asheville before. Is that right?
This is going to be a first for me. I've been dodging Asheville. I've been all over the place, but I haven't been there. I am so looking forward to this August 27th event. I can't tell you. I'm told it's a nice, quaint theater. Of course, I've never been there, Josh. I don't know if you've been to the theater, the Diana Wortham Theater, but it's nice and quaint. The tickets are selling like hotcakes. But I'm really looking forward to this, and I'm coming in Friday night before the event just to chill for a little bit, and then we're going to hit the deck running on Saturday, the 27th of August.
Now, I have no doubt you will be warmly welcomed by a loving fan base, because I cannot tell you the buzz in Asheville, how powerful it is, how many people are just, you know, chomping at the bit to finally get to see you in person. Tell everybody about what you have planned for this event in Asheville on August the 27th.
This is a live stage show event, so it's a little like Coast to Coast, because we have special guests. I'm going to mention who they all are in just a moment. But more importantly, it's an event that's live before basically a studio audience. We've got a live audience. I'm on stage with the guests. Tom Danheiser, my producer of Coast to Coast, is our executive producer of our live stage show events, and he's put together just a wonderful presentation. In addition to everything that I'm going to mention in a second here, Josh, we've got a band there, and we're going to play music, and I'm going to sing, and it's going to be an entertainment program, and then afterwards we're going to do a meet and greet. But the three special guests, we've got Micah Hanks, who's a ufologist, who also runs the band, so he's going to do double duty for me. Bill Forstgen, who is an author of a book called One Second After about EMPs. And as you know, it is part of my platform to protect our grid, our power grid, and get it insulated against the electromagnetic pulse attack from a rogue nation or a big X-flare from the sun. And Bill Forstgen will be there to talk about that. And then I've got world-renowned paranormal investigator Joshua P. Warren coming on. You, and I'm going to have fun doing that too.
Well, you know, and of course, we are telling everybody that we have made some special arrangements for some special surprises, one of them being that under armed guard, we will have there on display some pieces of actual debris collected from near the Roswell crash site. And if all goes well, the audience will not only have a chance to see this, but actually touch it, have a photograph made with it. And, you know, one of the things that's so intriguing about this debris is that when I first obtained it, I put it in an electrostatic field,
and one little sliver of it just stood up and started spinning around. Wow. It was incredible. It gave us all cold chills. So now, as you said, George, tickets are selling very quickly. Since Diana Wortham, it's a great venue, but it's not the biggest around. How can people get more information about buying their ticket right now?
What you can do, and the easiest way, is to go to coasttocoastam.com, my website, coasttocoastam.com. You will see right in the middle of the homepage what is called the highlight reel. You will click the picture that says Asheville event. Just click that, and then you're inside the Diana Wortham website. There's a section that says buy tickets. You'll click that, and then it opens up to a whole page of events that are going to be at that theater. Look for mine, the one on August 27th. It says Tom Danheiser produced event, George Norrie show, August 27th. You click that, then you can pick out your own seats. There's still a few good ones left on the bottom level, and then, of course, the balcony level will be opened up later. And you buy your seats that way, and then come on out. We're going to have a meet and greet after the event, Josh. And I don't leave until everybody in line has had that opportunity to meet me, get a picture, you know, a little hug, and off we go. And I'm really looking forward to this. I'm going to spend 2 solid days in Asheville, and then I'll be leaving that following Sunday back to St. Louis. But looking forward to it. And you're right, it's a small theater. It is half the size of what I'm used to, so those seats are going to fill up awfully fast. We've had a couple months to talk about the event, but it's coming up now. It's a month away, and we're gonna hit the deck running once we get to Asheville.
Yeah, and it's just such a beautiful time of year to be in Asheville. There's a very bustling nightlife, street performers, musicians everywhere. It'll be a lot of fun. And now let me ask you this, George. After all these years talking to so many intelligent people from diverse backgrounds about all of the strangest things imaginable, if someone comes up to you, we'll say a fan at this event, or say somebody stops you on the street and they say, Mr. Norrie, what can I do to most likely prove paranormal phenomena is real, to experience it for myself? What advice would you give to that fan?
You know, Josh, I would tell people to just have faith, to be able to believe things. It's very difficult to get hard evidence. You know, you're talking about the Roswell parts that are going to be at the event under armed guard. That's solid evidence. That's something there. And assuming it came from this crashed craft of some sort back in 1947, you've got something tangible. But all the other things that we've done, things that you've worked on, things that I've worked on, you have to take a lot of it at, you know, faith-based in order to do that. Because, you know, ghosts come and go. Some of them show up on video. Some of them don't. There are some EVPs. But that's also very difficult to prove. We happen to be in a field of the supernatural and the paranormal where a lot of your belief system has to come from this faith that something indeed is out there, whether it's life after death or UFO visits or Bigfoot out there in the wild, chupacabras. You have to believe that. Now, maybe one day we'll get that hard evidence that we're looking for, and we'll get these answers that we all seek. But right now, I would just recommend to people, go into this with an open mind. It's healthy to be a skeptic, but don't close the door on everything. And one day, we'll get the answers to some of these many questions that we have.
Now, when you sit there for hours and discuss this phantasmagoria of often controversial and creepy stuff, and then the show ends, and you go home, and you go into your bedroom to go to sleep. Do you ever get a little bit creeped out at night when you're all alone after talking about some of these things?
Josh, I think whatever I do in my bedroom is my business. some things actually are kind of spooky. When I have a show that people have called in on with these incredible stories, you do look twice when you're in your car in the rearview mirror to see if there are eyes behind you. I have, after talking to you, looked in a mirror at home in the dark just to be able to feel or sense if there's something else there in the mirror. So it affects you a little bit. I take about an hour to 2 hours to wind down once I get home. So in St. Louis, for example, I get off the air at 4 o'clock in the morning. By the time I get home and get to sleep, it's about 5:30. And then, of course, I'm up early, 10 o'clock in the morning, to get going, and I do a lot of prep at home and then into the studios. Or in St. Louis, we call it the cave. In Los Angeles, it's a different kind of a lifestyle because of the time difference. I get off the air at 2 in the morning, but by the time I get home and wind down, it's close to 4 o'clock in the morning. But that's the life I have chosen, Josh. That's what I'm doing. And, you know, but it does. It takes a little while to wind down because you're so pumped up from many of the things that you've done on the program that night.
Well, you know, I've been surprised and delighted over the years at how much freedom that you have given me and your other guests to come on and really discuss whatever topic is maybe it's controversial, maybe it's something that's going to probe a little deeper than some of the powers that be might want. Have you ever felt that maybe some strange figures, men in black, or some kind of agents have been sort of slinking around your life and keeping tabs on you?
I know they listen. Whether they're watching me, following me, I'm not sure yet. I've never been approached to kill a story, nor do I think I've been approached or followed. But you just never know. You really never know. But I do know, because of some people who have called me before, that they do assign people to listen to the show on a regular basis so they can pick up information from our guests, including you, for example, where they say, oh, Josh is in Puerto Rico. What is he doing there? What's going on over there? They track that, and it's part of a surveillance, but they're doing it.
You've said on a number of occasions that you believe there are no coincidences. Why do you believe that?
I've never believed in coincidences. I believe that fate does things for us. Yes, there's luck, and yes, there's chance. But to me, coincidence is not there. If I'm thinking of somebody and they call me, I think I've connected with them. I think I've made that happen. And if events occur, I think I've made them happen or I've picked up on it. But I just don't believe in coincidence. I really don't.
Okay, we're going to take our break. And when we come back, I would like to dig into George Norrie's brand new novel. And I wonder how much of his real life has seeped in to this book that is already a big buzz in the literary world. I'm talking right now with, of course, the host of Coast to Coast AM, Mr. George Norrie. Again, you can find out more about the event at coasttocoastam.com. My name is Joshua P. Warren, and speaking of strange, we'll be right back.
From a coast smile from a veil. Do you think you can tell?
Yeah, it's the show where the unusual becomes usual. Speaking of strange, brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop in Asheville, North Carolina. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, and I know that bumper is one of my guests' favorites. He is the host of Coast to Coast AM, George Norrie, who is coming to Asheville, North Carolina on Saturday, August the 27th for a big event at the Diana Wortham Theater. Of course, I'll be there, Micah Hanks, Bill Forstian. We have a lot of surprises in store. Go to coasttocoastam.com for more information and to buy your tickets now, because I guarantee you this is going to sell out very soon. We're only about a month away. And, George, you're doing a lot of media appearances soon because, well, not only are you promoting your live events, but you have a new novel coming out. What have you created for us?
Oh, Josh, first novel. Most of my other works have been nonfiction. But this is about a late-night talk show host who is unraveling a huge conspiracy. Go figure, right? And his name is Greg Noel. And it's an amazing book. I won't give the ending away, obviously, but it goes on sale with Amazon.com. It is available for folks to pre-order anytime, but it's going to be there, and I'm looking forward to it. I've also gotten some calls from Hollywood already about the possibility of turning this story into a regular TV series, so we'll find out what happens there.
Ooh, a TV series. That's even better than a movie because that can go on forever.
And I should say the name of the book is Night Talk, two different words.
Night Talk. And so is it safe to assume that a good deal of the content is based upon some real experiences you've had?
Yes, absolutely. Of course, you know, we've fictionalized some things, but there's some reality built into the story, and it starts off fast and it ends even faster.
So how many books have you published to date now, George?
Oh gosh, I think when you include this book, Josh, let's go through them together. There's Worker in the Light, Journey to the Light, Late Night Snacks, Talking to the Dead, that's Someone is Hiding Something, that's about the missing Malaysian flight, MH370. So this will be number six, and the next year my biography is coming out about my life story, so that'll be number seven.
Dang. Well, I heard you tell somebody recently that you only sleep about 4 hours a night, and I can see why, because it's just incredible the volume of things you're able to produce. And, you know, considering that you are both delving into nonfiction and fiction and you're able to imagine the possibilities, after all these years of talking to experts, of thinking about these things, of having your own personal experiences, if somebody came to you and said, I'm going to give you an unlimited budget to research just one of these topics, what topic would you pick? What do you think is most likely to yield something profound if that kind of effort and intensity were put into it?
What an amazing question. There's so much out there that I want answers for, whether it's life after death, out-of-body projections, ghosts, Bigfoot, the search for extraterrestrial life. They are all out there. I wish I could take whatever they offered and split it up into little segments and try to get all those stories. But I think the one that I really would go after is the question we all ask ourselves, why are we here? Who are we? How did it happen? Whether you believe in God or not, the big question is, even with the belief of God, how did God start? How did it just start? What happened? And that is a question I would love to get answered and would spend unlimited resources to try to get that answer.
You know, there are people, of course, who listen to Coast AM so that they can get a lot of different perspectives on the purpose of this experience that we call life. Have you had to sort of narrow it down? What do you think, ultimately, the meaning of life is?
Oh, if I had that answer, Josh, that's a great question, and it's a perplexing question. I think we are here physically here to better our lives for other individuals and also position ourselves for the other side, which I think is more prevalent and much larger than this physical existence. I think this is a training ground for our spirit world, and they want to know, and that's why there's a reincarnation, because we keep coming back to perfect, but they want the physical body to create the atmosphere and the love of life and individuals to move on to that next plane, that other existence, which was here first and is going to be here until the end of time. And, you know, the physical life we have is just a mere minute moment in the scheme of things, but the hereafter lasts for eternity. And I think we're here to perfect this in order to make that side of our existence a little more palatable and better.
Hey, well said. I couldn't agree more. It's a big learning experience. It's sort of like a big classroom here, and maybe we're each supposed to learn slightly different things. I asked you earlier about whether or not you ever get kind of creeped out when you talk about some of these topics, and you know, afterward when you're by yourself, perhaps. But even though I know that doesn't usually happen, most people who listen to Coast, they know that you're not a fan of clowns, and you don't and you don't really like dolls too much either. Where does all that come from?
You know, that's a good question. You know, some people say, "Oh, you must have watched the Stephen King movie It," which is a TV show, which is going to be turned into a movie, by the way. I haven't liked clowns for years and years and years. There was one clown that I liked when I was a kid. His name was Emmett Kelly. And they had an Emmett Kelly doll, and he was a real clown. He was a real person. And I liked him, but after that, I didn't like clowns. I didn't like the way they blew up these balloons, and they looked at you, and they smiled behind this facade of whoever they might have been. I just don't like them, and I just don't want anything to do with it. As far as dolls are concerned, you know, when you look at movies like Chucky and things like that, and then, of course, stories from you about Robert the Haunted Doll, they're kind of weird, too, and I just haven't been into those either.
And people try to send you dolls and other odd things from time to time, and what's your policy on accepting these kinds of unusual gifts?
I give them away quickly. Quickly. A friend of mine, somebody you and I know dearly, you, gave me a replica of Robert the Haunted Doll, and I got rid of that fast. I gave it to a woman who absolutely loves the doll. She just had a birthday a couple weeks ago. I went on the air and I gave her birthday wishes and said, "Quite frankly, Marianne, I'm surprised you're having a birthday after having Robert the Haunted Doll living with you for a couple of years." She swears by it. She has worked out some kind of affinity with Robert and vice versa. But I don't like clowns, and I don't like these different kind of dolls.
Well, I can understand, especially as you mentioned, after seeing some of the things I have witnessed regarding Robert and obviously having a mystery museum, I get people sending me some pretty bizarre things from time to time as well. And sometimes I just say, thanks, but no thanks. I don't think even I am ready for this particular gift. But, George, obviously, you are a busy man. But before we hit our next break here, tell everybody one more time what you'd like them to keep in mind regarding both the event in Asheville and your new upcoming novel, Night Talk.
Sure will. Night Talk, two different words, available on Amazon.com. You can order it at any time you want. It's a novel. It's a great read, so enjoy yourself there. And then August 27th, we've got this great event in Asheville, North Carolina, including you, Joshua, as one of our major guests. I'll be singing with a band. Tickets are available by going to our website, coasttocoastam.com. Click the picture of the Asheville event and go in and look for the tickets. Just remember the date, August 27th. And those people who live in the greater Asheville area, just go to the Diana Wortham Theater and go there and pick up your tickets, too.
All right, George Norrie, you, sir, are truly the master of the night. Thank you so much for coming on the show. I cannot wait to see you in about a month, and we'll talk again soon, my friend.
Thank you, Josh. Love you.
All right, I love you too, George. How about that, folks? George Norrie, Coast to Coast AM. I'm Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to Speaking of Strange, and I've got an interesting story about wormholes for you when we come back. Yeah, that's another piece of Coast to Coast AM inspired bumper for you. It's funny, when you listen to that show as many years as I have, I mean, going back to, you know, I was interviewed by Art Bell back when he was the regular host and all that, you hear these certain bumper songs that are frequently played, and it's funny how sometimes you can hear a song and you just associate it immediately with a certain program, and so... that is one of those songs.
Like Limbaugh and, was it Dire Straits? Was
that? Yeah.
Boom,
yeah.
Boom, boom, burn, burn, burn. You know that thing?
Yeah, absolutely. And also, here's an interesting bit of trivia for you. Of course, when you listen to Coast AM, it starts out with boom, 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 boom. And then it kind of shifts into... You know what that comes from, Sam?
I do not. Not with your... reenact or your it's a beautiful voice you have there.
that is called, I believe it's called The Chase, and it is from the movie that I found very unsettling called Midnight Express.
Okay, that was it was a drug smuggling movie, right?
That's right, yeah. It came out in the 70s based on a true story. Actually, it might have been like the early 80s or something, but anyway, the script was written by Oliver Stone. But yeah, it was about this guy who was smuggling drugs in America and I believe Turkey, and he got busted and they threw him in jail and tossed away the key. And it's one of those like horrible prison movies that you got to be in the mood to watch stuff like that. But so anyway, this, however, is not Coast to Coast AM. This is Speaking of Strange. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren. And tonight's program is brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop in Asheville, North Carolina. And we definitely look forward to seeing many of you there for the big event on August the 27th. Also, if you have any trouble finding the link, go to joshuapwarren.com. And at the very top of the page, the first thing you'll see is a highlighted link to go to the Diana Wortham page. You can see a video clip of George, and you'll find all the information to buy tickets consolidated there as well. So listen to this. You know, all these years that scientists have speculated about the realistic possibility of time travel, they have said, well, it's certainly possible that if one could go through a wormhole, then one might be able to come out at another point in time and space, possibly even another universe. but much more likely the past or the future. However, they've always said that cannot be done, though, because the forces in a wormhole are so intense that it would just sort of shred you to pieces or stretch you out like a piece of spaghetti or who knows what. Well, guess what? Now there are some scientists saying, oh, never mind, we were wrong. Turns out we believe a spacecraft could survive a journey through a wormhole in the center of a black hole and pass into another universe or another part of our universe despite its strong tidal forces. This new study was conducted by a team of physicists headed in out of Portugal, and they published in the journal Classical and Quantum Gravity a reconsideration of Einstein's theory that black holes destroy everything within their reach. Without getting too technical, and believe me, I could, because some of the language here is pretty confusing, they say that that essentially they thought that where the forces were most intense and they would rip you apart, that the forces might not actually work the way they assumed. I mean, if they say, like, for example, this just how they're wording this, a round trip between any two nearby geodesics is always finite and causal despite the infinite spatial stretching caused by the unbounded tidal force. Makes perfect sense, right?
is this like that same thing where what is it considered, like the universe is like a block, like the block theory, where the only thing that changes is time? Like, well, the other day I'd read a story about how, like, that might not be the theory after all. Or
if only you watched Doctor Who, you could put it in Doctor Who terms.
Well, how about this? Have you guys seen the movie Interstellar with Matthew McConaughey?
No.
Okay. Well, it deals with this. That movie is set in the near future when planet Earth is dying and we've got to get out of here somehow. And so scientists figure out how to open up a wormhole, and Matthew McConaughey's character gets to be the first guy to go through it. Well, anyway, but what they're saying here in this story is that, okay, it may or may not be safe for a regular old human to go through one of these things, but they think it should be quite safe for some type of a craft to go through. So some kind of a probe similar to, say, like Voyager or one of these things that we send out there that are floating off into the infinity of space right now. The question becomes, okay, if you send a probe through a wormhole and it comes out somewhere else, are you still going to be able to communicate with that probe? Is it going to be able to send images or signals or any kind of data to let you know what it's, you know, seeing, so to speak?
I mean, they would have to be constructed in a manner that would be impervious to the forces. So would your, like, my Wi-Fi doesn't reach out that far outside the house, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
But, I mean, if you can get up to space and back in a matter of milliseconds, who knows?
Well, yeah, and of course you'd think if a craft can travel one way through a black hole and make it, perhaps the signals could travel the opposite way back through the wormhole and come out to us. Or, you know, we might end up getting into one of these technologies dealing with non-locality, meaning that we're not broadcasting a linear transmission, that just two points in space might be able to instantly communicate with each other, for lack of a better term. But that's just one cool thing to consider. Here is another thing to think about. And this is another example of how technology is exploding. They say here in the Star Trek universe, the concept of currency has been replaced with the increasing reliance of material abundance. Now, you might say, huh, what does that mean? What they're talking about is this device they use in Star Trek called a replicator. And basically what this thing is, you know, in the world of fiction, these replicators are able to take matter out of thin air and rearrange the subatomic particles and sort of create some kind of an item there. Because obviously all material around us is just a certain arrangement of quantum and subatomic particles. And so if you could, there ought to be material all around us, if you could tap into it, that you could shape into something and sort of like make an object materialize. Well, NASA has been inspired by that, as they have been inspired by many of the things from Star Trek. And they are now working on a new device, which is basically a recycler. They're calling it a refabricator. They think they may have a prototype for this thing next year. Essentially, this is going to be a device, from what we understand, that can take a certain amount of material and shape it and then break it down and reshape it into different things. So let's say we send some astronauts off into space and we can't give them 10 different objects because it's going to weigh too much. Instead, we give them a little blob of Play-Doh or whatever, and then they can take it and put it into this replicator, and then, or actually this refabricator, and then it can restructure that thing into whatever tool is necessary at that particular time. So it kind of reminds you of how a 3D printer works, because I'm imagining, okay, let's say you have a 3D printer, you put the gooey plastic stuff in it, it prints out a shape. When you're done with that shape, you melt it down, you put it back in, and you print something else. It's probably similar to that. But, you know, here I am reading these stories about mind-boggling advances and potential technology and things that are based upon, you know, the Star Trek universe. And then I have to do a complete 180, this other story that I'm going to get to after the break. And it is about an argument that just took place. Yes, a serious argument between two people, a fiery argument over whether or not the Earth is flat or round. Yeah.
I just had an argument with somebody about that the other day. And you, not even an argument, it was just a text, kind of like jib-jab kind of thing. Yeah. And I don't know if she was just doing it to push my buttons, but I was just like, seriously? Don't make me dislike you before I get to know you. Like, come on. You know, like, oh.
I think, if I'm not mistaken, when I was writing my book, Use the Force, I believe that I found that, like, the first time a good picture of planet Earth as a whole was only taken in, like, you know, the 1960s or something like that. So, yeah, we'll dig into that when we come back, though. This is the program where, yeah, we talk about all the strange stuff. We make you think about the summit of man's enlightenment and occasionally the pit of his depravity. The program is brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop in Asheville. The number to Wright's is 828-298-5402. There's also a link for you at speakingofstrange.com. I'm Joshua P. Warren, and Speaking of Strange, we'll be right back.
Everybody's talking at me. I don't hear words they're saying. Only the echoes of my mind. People stopping still. I can't see their faces. Only the shadows of their eyes. I'm going where the sun keeps shining through the pouring rain. Going where the weather suits my clothes. Banking off of the northeast winds, sailing on summer breeze. And skipping over the ocean like a stone. Whoa.
And we are in the final minutes of hour number two on tonight's Speaking of Strange, brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop. Again, the number to Wright's in Asheville is 828-298-5402, 828-298-5402. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren. Coming up next hour, well, that's the hour we call the Dark 30 Hour. And that means, well, it's late at night. It's into the period known as Safe Harbor. And so we take advantage of that. And we talk about some of the more controversial and outrageous news stories, some of the more sordid and seedy material that might not be suitable for children. As a matter of fact, I would say is just plain old is not suitable for children and not suitable for the easily offended. So you can just determine whether or not you want to stick around to hear the last hour of tonight's program. But I've been, you know, reading these stories about profound technological achievements that great scientists are working on, and it's amazing to look at the yin and the yang of human intelligence, as demonstrated by this news story from Ontario, Canada. A 56-year-old man there is in a lot of trouble because he and his family, including his son and his son's girlfriend, apparently went on some kind of a camping trip. And at one point, the topic of the Earth and space and all that came up. And the 56-year-old man was just astounded when his son's girlfriend kept insisting that she believes the Earth is, in fact, flat, that it's not really round. And so he started trying to give her examples of how to verify the Earth is round. He was talking about watching how a ship sails over the horizon and all these kinds of things. And she just was not budging an inch. This argument became so heated that finally this guy just flipped out. He was so frustrated. And when he flipped out, he began throwing things into the campfire, including a large propane tank.
Oh.
As soon as everybody saw the propane tank go into the fire, they all were smart enough to get up and run like hell. And what happened next reminds me of perhaps one of these shots from the A-Team, where everybody is jumping in slow motion and this gigantic explosion takes place behind them as they're flailing on their way to the ground. Obviously the police came, the fire department came. They asked the guy, what the heck got into you? He says, look, this woman is too stupid to risk becoming pregnant with my son's child. That's why I flipped out. I'm not going to have my genes passed along to include somebody this dumb. And when they started interviewing everybody at the scene, they said, look, bottom line is neither one of them would change their views. The woman refused to say that the Earth was anything other than flat and that she was not stupid and she was very worthy to bear her boyfriend's children. And that was too much for the dad. So can you believe here in the year 2016, there are still people having a quote-unquote, no pun intended, heated argument over something so basic and fundamental for most of us.
I can. And on a related note, propane tanks, yes, but also don't ever put a aluminum baseball bat in a campfire either.
Ew.
As they contain compressed gas inside and they will explode.
And why
well.
Would you do that in the first place?
It, let's just say there was a fire and a keg and a bat and things happened.
A series of unfortunate
but it will
events.
Explode. It will explode, and it's very dangerous.
Dang. Well, gosh, yeah. I mean, I you know, I've never really thought about that, but so those things are just filled with compressed gas, huh?
Yeah, I don't know what, but, like, literally the bat exploded like a cartoon firecracker, like, where the end of it was this, like, metal, like, poosh, like, sharp shards poking out. And, I mean, if anybody was standing in the wrong place, they probably could have gotten really bad. I kept it as a weapon in the car for years. It was good times.
Until it went to the fire.
No, after it went to the fire. Then it was even more like a Mad Max-like weapon, you know?
I'd love to see what it looks like now. Do you still have it?
No. It might be in my parents' garage. I'll probably be cleaning it out soon enough. So we'll look for it, you know?
Yeah. Don't try that at home, kids.
No. All right. Disclaimer.
Yeah. Never good to throw anything really into the fire.
And the earth is not flat.
Yeah. That's right. I mean.
Yeah. Read a book.
Well, look at an eclipse. Okay. When you can see the shadow of the earth on the moon, or you can see the shadow of the earth going in front of the sun or whatever. However, no, the moon, I guess the moon going in front of the sun. It's all round, folks. That's the bottom line. It's all circular. Okay, well, we are going to go ahead and take our break. And
right now?
Everybody, yeah, it's break time.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, and we're going to take a break, and when we come back, it will be time for, yes, the dreaded, the notorious, the infamous Dark 30 Hour. Again, tonight's show is brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, and this is Speaking of Strange.